lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they got distracted by that cat video on YouTube. You know, the one with the thing. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Hey there, everyone. It is Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, episode 243. Of course, this is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Fresh newbies, established professionals, anything between. We share the tips and the techniques. And the idea is that each and every time we get together, we learn five new things about how to become better at writing songs. Tonight, I'll be your host. My name is Phil Emery, and joining me tonight are many of the members of the dedicated Song Talk Radio action team.
Just two.
It's Bruce. How you doing there, Bruce?
I'm good. I've been reading Phil Spector, a book about Phil Spector called The Wall of Pain. Phil Spector was famous for The Wall of Sound, right?
Of course.
But a very tortured soul, somewhere between a genius and a crazy man, much like
crazy
myself.
Genius.
But I think I'm more on the crazy side than genius. I used to think, right, Alistair?
You think you're
a genius, but you're kind of crazy.
Yes.
Anyway, Phil Spector, very interesting story. And I'm going to watch the video tonight. It's called Phil Spector with Al Pacino as Phil Spector.
Al Pacino?
Yeah.
All
with
right.
Helen Mirren as his lawyer.
Yeah.
I'll let you know next week how it
okay, we'll have a Song Talk Radio film review.
All about Phil Spector.
Yes.
We should do a whole show about him. I mean, he's got an amazing career.
Well, we could.
He's a guitarist, piano player, songwriter, singer, arranger, created a whole new movement in music in the early 60s, and now he's serving life for murder.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, ba-dum-bum.
And on that note, and of course, Mr. Neil Modi is away today, and sitting in for Neil is Mr. Alistair Bradley. How you doing?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
And I want to point out that Alistair came in on frickin' crutches.
Crutches.
So where's Neil? I don't know where Neil is,
Neil's in London.
A professional attitude.
Yeah, well,
will get you everywhere.
That's true. You know, if you're not on crutches, Neil, even if you're on crutches, you should be here. I just want to put that out.
And
that's the next level now.
Alistair walked from Kitchener, Ontario, which
yes.
is, that's not easy.
That was the closest parking I could find.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And of course, on the board, Linda Lavender.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
So during the show, please send in your comments and questions to at Songtalk Radio on Twitter or on Facebook. Send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we'll share them with the audience and answer any questions you may have. Don't forget to stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to find out you can be a guest on our show. And tonight, this is going to be our second songwriting app review show.
Mm-hmm.
And we did one way back in 2016, I think it was a while ago.
Why? Did they have apps back then?
They did.
They
actually
had a few.
Yeah. And
a lot more now.
They called them programs.
Oh, programs.
Programs, yes. And I thought it would be a good time to revisit songwriting apps because you can do lots of stuff on your phone and on your desktop.
So what is it, Phil? Can I clarify for our listeners out there? What's the difference between an app and a downloaded program?
Nothing.
So I thought it was on your phone is the app, and on the laptop is the application itself.
No, at least
just application.
At least in the Windows world, with Windows 10, they started calling everything apps.
Everything's an app.
It's basically a program. So some programs just run on your phone. Some will run on your phone and your desktop.
Yeah.
And so Alistair, how do you use the songwriting programs or apps in your
We're going to learn pretty quickly that I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to these. I've been using the same songwriting tool for I don't know how many years. It's MasterWriter.
MasterWriter, okay. Mm.
And I've been using it since version 2. I don't have version 3 because I'm going to be unpopular with the MasterWriter folks by saying I don't like their pricing model for the new version.
What is their pricing model?
Well, they used to have MasterWriter, which you would buy outright. And it would live on your computer and be licensed forever. And then they joined the whole subscription model. And they did a lot of really great things with it in terms of being able to have MasterWriter installed on all your devices with everything being synced in the cloud. And that's a great thing.
That's handy.
But I kind of view it as the same way that I view maybe Microsoft Word. Would you subscribe to buy Microsoft Word, because it really doesn't change for 5 years.
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
And it's not the kind of software that evolves rapidly like my DAW does evolve rapidly. And I faithfully buy upgrades for my DAW.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Adobe certainly has moved to a subscription mode, and a lot of people are angered by that, mainly because you can buy the piece of software and use it for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and like, I don't have to pay a monthly subscription. So what is, it's at masterwriter.com, I believe.
Most masterwriter.com, yeah. It's,
what is the pricing, you know?
What's so great about it?
What's so great about it?
More to the point.
Well, it has a whole slew of nicely integrated tools that don't get in the way and don't block my creativity. When I'm lyric writing, and it's strictly for lyric writing in the way I use it.
Now, they do have, and they have a version for creative writers as well.
Yes, they have a version for creative writers as well.
But it's not
but
the
it's
melodies
language.
And chords.
They have some primitive support for attaching audio snippets to your songs. But for me, at least, it's primarily for developing my lyrics.
So what has it got that my piece of paper or my blank Word document doesn't have?
It has very tight integration with Thesaurus, Dictionary, Rhyme Dictionary, like pop culture references.
Really?
You can look up pop culture references.
Oh.
That's handy, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And the pieces are all integrated very well. It also does have some of the functions that are more applicable to U.S. users, like integration with the U.S. Copyright Office and that kind of thing that,
that really?
I don't use it for that.
Will it write a song for you?
No.
Oh.
No.
Good.
I'm still waiting for the purchase. I clicked the buy button on their website, and it hasn't come through yet. So
yeah.
I'm not sure. Do you don't know what the cost is?
I don't remember what it is. It's a monthly thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, monthly is $9.95.
There you go.
Or a year, $100.
$100.
That's U.S.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're...
So for a piece of software that that I was able to buy for $150.
Yeah. One time.
I would expect it to be evolving quite rapidly if I'm paying $10 a month.
Of course, you don't want them to add a bunch of stuff that you don't use.
No, no.
So that's an interesting question.
And honestly, I think it was a nice big evolution for them to offer it across platforms.
Well, and
that's something I do miss because I haven't adopted the new model.
Yeah, and of course they need to pay bills as well. So it's an interesting question. You know, they don't have the deep pockets of Adobe, but... That's kind of interesting.
But it's been a great tool for me, and the people there are great too, in fact.
And now you're a professional writer, which is so, you know, maybe an amateur may not want to drop $10 a month because that's, you know, it's 120 US.
Two lattes. Not bad.
Well, that actually is true.
That's a Toronto reference, by the way. Chai latte today at the cafe. I was looking, should I have a chai latte? I was at a board game bistro last night, actually. I hate board games. But anyway, I went. $5.50 for a chai latte. I ask you, Linda, isn't that a bit over the top? It's just milk and tea.
There's a whole lot of labor involved in a chai latte.
Oh, come on. There's a lot of labor in writing a song. I haven't been paid for those. So use Master Writer. So tell us, just to listeners at home, give them a bit of a sense of what it would be. You open it, and you just start typing in your lyric, or do you put a theme in? Does it check themes for you? Does it bring up a dictionary?
No, I will start typing in my lyrical ideas. It allows me to gather ideas in a scratch pad area, you know, a sketch area.
Yeah.
And then copy bits that I like over into the lyric area.
And there you access the thesaurus and rhyming dictionary easily.
I can double-click on a word. I can pop the rhyming dictionary up, and it'll say, here are suggestions. And it allows me to tailor the search based on, you know, do I want perfect rhymes? Do I want near rhymes? Do I want multisyllabic rhymes?
Cool.
So it's a well-developed
Does it have a cliche screen?
No.
Well, okay, so I want to talk about another app, and I'm going to start off with a free app. If you happen to have an iPhone or an iOS device, and it's a pretty amazing little program called Music Memos.
Music Memos. Oh, and thank you, Phil, for turning me on to this one. This is
yes, because you know, when I first tried it, it normally is, I think, comes pre-installed on your phone. If not, you can just go to the App Store. And again, it's a free download. It doesn't cost anything. It's done actually by Apple. The first time I tried it, I tried singing into it and just, you know, thinking of that's how someone would use it. Because like Apple, there's like no instructions and there's like no sort of indication of how anything works. It's very kind of organic that way. And it didn't really work. And I kind of went, oh, well, maybe it doesn't. You know, it was the first version. Maybe they're trying it. Apple does stuff. They try something. It doesn't work. They just kind of let it die. But the other day, I thought,
that's their model for success.
Well, that's true. Yeah. So the other day, I tried it with actually a song that I was working on a ukulele.
Oh.
And it didn't work then. But then, but I, thinking back on it, I thought, well, actually, the timing for this song is really kind of weird. In fact, I don't even know what the timing is. So it kind of didn't work. So what I did was actually just used an acoustic guitar and played something really kind of in 4/4. And Linda, you're going to play this, the first song, I think, guitar only. Let's take a listen to that. So that's fine, and it plays it back. And again, when you hit the red button, there's no tempo. There's no click track. Nope. It just records whatever you do. That's what it did. So there's a button at the bottom, which has a little drum set. And if you play that, you don't have to do... This is just me tapping this icon.
Yeah.
Did absolutely nothing with it. So just play this next one, which is drums only, I think.
It recognized your tempo and it recognized your meter.
And it, yet it recognized the speed. So, I mean, like, I've had drummers who didn't do something as appropriate. and the fact that, so, and I want to stress the fact, I did nothing to this recording apart from touching the drum icon.
So was it adjusted your guitar to match that beat, or it's matching the beat to the guitar?
No, no, it just took a raw audio file and it figured out what the drum should be.
Yeah.
And it did that.
Okay. So, wow. It adjusted its tempo to what your tempo was.
Yeah. Because there's no tempo. There's no click
That's
track.
That's the ideal drummer, isn't
and
it?
And it recognized through the rhythms in the WAV file that was recorded.
That's pretty amazing.
It came up with a vibe.
So now there's another icon at the bottom with
then
a little bass.
Then it starts singing.
Yes. No. It's a little bass icon. And I press that and it does this. So that way, so it figured out what chords I was playing.
Wow.
And actually did a bass accompaniment.
So you figured out how to use it.
Yes, and this is free. This comes free with your phone.
Wow.
Did you find the customization of the drums and bass as well?
Yes, you can
because you can advise the drummer to be more complex or more simple.
Oh, you can.
To use to play quieter, to play louder. And to use either a vintage or a modern kit.
Yeah, which is an interesting sort of addition.
Yeah.
But it's just a little sort of slider at the bottom. It's a little awkward to kind of get to that. I kept on having a bit of trouble with that. But
so
it does
how
work.
Is this better than GarageBand?
Well, this actually will export to GarageBand. Yeah. This is basically something in your phone.
Right.
And you click and you don't have to do anything. You don't have to set up in a project. You just, the idea is that you collect all these different ideas. Now, I realized I didn't actually play and sing, and that would be an interesting to see how I would handle that. But the next thing I want to play is, this is a more complex song I wrote. This is a song I did, I wrote called It's All Clear to Me Now. And this has got more kind of jazzy chords. It's a little bit unusual. So let's just play that, I think, second song guitar only.
Thank you.
All right, so what we did there, what I did is just put it on my...
Don't bore us, get to the chorus. Sorry, wrong show.
So what I did is I just had the phone on my knee while I was playing the guitar.
Yeah.
And this has a bit more kind of changes to it, so I wanted to see how it worked. And so this came out, this is now with the drums and the bass. So, yeah, that's I just, again, amazing. Didn't do anything to this apart from touch those icons at the bottom.
Yeah, and it tracks the chords you're playing, sometimes inaccurately, but it tracks the chords you're playing, and it allows you to go in and edit them. If it made a mistake, you can say, no, that really wasn't an E-flat. That was a C minor I played.
And it actually, like, added little bits of walking, the bass walking, you know?
Yeah.
And then you can just... And the idea is that you collect all these little ideas of, like, verses, and then you can actually email them to yourself, or you can export them and open, and they open up in GarageBand or Logic Pro X. So,
which is very popular.
Yeah. So it's and this is a free application.
It's a free app, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you were saying, Bruce, you want to talk about guitar?
One of my friends said you should have Guitar Tuna, T-U-N-A. Mm-hmm. Guitar Tuna, and it's as you can see, I'll hold it up to the microphone. You can see here it's got the top of a guitar, with the so you can hear this is radio. So those are what the sounds are. But what's really cool is I don't have a guitar here to tune it to, but when you tune it correctly to the E, it goes bing. So you get a little audio signal that you're in pitch.
Oh, nice.
And also it lights up green. The red turns to green. But I was trying it earlier today, and of course with the guitar, I mean, the thing is going, it says it's in tune, and then, you know, a second later you're playing and go, it's going, it's never very exact. But I found this one quite helpful. Of course, I have the one on the neck of the guitar as well. It just attaches, which is pretty good too. But I think this would be cool to have just sitting beside you if you're doing a gig. Try it on your music stand or something, and it's sitting right there. It's on, right?
How much was that?
It's free.
Oh, it's free?
Yeah, Guitar Tuna, T-U-N-A. It's kind of cute.
Now, Alistair, are you using any phone apps at all?
I often use SmartClick from Steinberg.
Oh, sorry, it also has a metronome.
It has a metronome in it.
I'll stop that now.
Well, and this is what I found is a whole lot of apps that promise to be a metronome. Mm. They stutter and slow down and speed up because they don't have the right access to the guts of the phone.
That is true, actually.
But I found that Steinberg's SmartClick is rock solid. And it gives you what you need. It lets you tap a tempo. It lets you... you can do it visual only or visual plus sounds.
Oh, cool.
And again, it's another free app.
One of our very first guests... his name escapes me. He actually wrote a metronome application as well, and made sure that it was really very precise.
It was solid, yeah.
And he had a big sort of he was actually a UI designer, so he designed it so that you could watch it, and it would sort of have these squares that would blink.
Yeah.
And then on the four and, it would sort of it would kind of turn so that you could sort of really hear the and.
Right on.
Sort of feel on the end. It was quite. Yeah. Quite handy. So another application I want to mention is this is a free one with a pro version, and it's actually just called Songwriter, and it's iOS. Now this is iOS only as well. The Music Memos was iOS only. Songwriter, and this is actually
this one's Songwriter's Pad. Is that same one? We've got all our devices open here. Hmm. Same one?
This one's just called Songwriter.
Okay.
And this is actually mostly for writing lyrics. And you come up with a song, you open up a document, you can put in sort of like structured text, so you'd label a part which, you know, verse, mm-hmm. And a chorus. It has this nice feature where you can actually record something audio. So, you know, if you had an idea for a musical, you know, for a melody, you would actually sort of attach it to that part of the song, the song. And you could also include chords. So you can set up that this, you know, this song is in the key of F, and you could actually put in, you know, real chords, or you can use the Nashville system.
Yeah.
Which is...
Tell the listeners what the Nashville system is for people who don't know. Is that the
1-4-5? Yeah, it's the 1-4-5.
1-2-3-4-5.
Yeah, so indicating the scale of the step of the scale that the chord is based on. So,
say the 1 was a C, what would be the 4?
It would be an F.
And the 5 would be a G.
Yeah.
So 1-4-5 would be CFG.
And the beauty of a chart done in the Nashville number system is if a different singer came into the studio that liked to sing in a different key, you could tell the band, we're going to do this in A instead of C.
Oh. Yeah.
And the players familiar with the Nashville number system will say, no problem.
Hmm. It's actually easier to transpose with the Nashville system.
Hmm.
And it's also very compact. You can get like a whole night of songs on like 2 pieces of paper, you know, which is really handy because you know the changes. You just need to know if it goes to 6 or the 7 or what have you. So
unless it does something weird, like goes to a 9th or...
Yeah, unless it's an Alistair Bradley song that refuses to use fewer than 14 chords.
Well, we had someone on here. How many did he use? 57? Remember the dude who was on here? And he sat down with a friend, and they got together, and they wrote a song of 57 chords.
Oh, I got to write with him, whoever that is. I got to write with him.
Yeah, well, listen.
Put it in the show notes.
It wasn't a very good song, apparently.
it was an exercise.
Yeah.
What about the great one, which is, you know, your garage band, which I've been playing around with. I've been playing around with a keyboard. It's not, I got to turn this up a bit just so folks at home can hear this, but, you know. And you can have. So you can play with an infinite number of sounds, right? Whether it's guitar,
you can basically do a like full track, multi-track recording basically on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, so you could actually start working on like a song on your phone, and then you can export it to the full GarageBand on your desktop or Logic, Logic Pro.
Yeah. Now, I've been a PC guy for eons.
Yeah.
I haven't yet evolved into a Mac user.
Well, it's interesting because you and I both use Cubase.
Our
friend Dave Miner works for Yamaha, and he's the Steinberg guy at Yamaha. And one of the great things about Cubase is that I could do a song and actually give it to you, and you can open it up and work on it on Cubase, on the PC. It actually goes back completely transparently.
Well, and because I'm a Cubase user on my in my studio, on my iPad, I have Cubases installed.
Now, how are you finding Cubases?
Well, it's because it's compatible with Cubase that I use it rather than GarageBand.
Nice.
GarageBand has a really great assortment of sounds and looping tool and you know, fun instruments. I don't know what
they
call them, like quick instruments or something.
Yeah. Very fast.
Cubase allows me to get the ideas down.
Yeah.
And then if I've done it in a quality that I can actually use it in the studio, I can just export that into Cubase.
So now, I think, Bruce, you're more of a traditional writer. You sit there with a piece of paper and a guitar.
Yeah.
I sort of do a bit of both. A lot of my songs start off as when I'm practicing, come up with ideas, and then, you know, I'll play them on the guitar and then put them onto my DAW of choice, which is Cubase. How are you working, Alistair, with this kind of thing? Are you...
Ultimately, I'm trying to work with... it's usually on a laptop or on my iPad, but it's with apps that don't break my creative flow. And some of the apps that I've tried, one of them was this Songwriter's Pad. it just had too many moving parts.
Yeah.
So that I'd have to click here and click here and click here and click here before I could get the word out of my head and onto the page.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're on the hunt for an app for song to use for songwriting, I'd say beware of that kind of thing. An app that does perhaps more than it needs to.
Right.
And for that reason gets in the way of the creative flow. So the two things that I use most, the two apps I use most, MasterWriter on my laptop and on my tablet, on my iPad, I use OnSong. OnSong being the lyric management tool and live performance lyric tool that is second to none. No, it's not a writing tool per se. OnSong.
OnSong?
OnSong. OnSong. It's a very, very well-liked app. It's beautiful at maintaining a catalog of your songs and allowing you to read the lyrics while you're performing somewhere, whether they're text that scrolls from the, you know, as the song evolves, or whether it's a PDF.
Oh, so it actually scrolls as the song.
It'll scroll for you. If you have the Bluetooth pedals, you can switch pages with your feet and all that. I mean, there's a handful of apps to do this, but yeah. OnSong was developed with performing in mind, with having access to all your songs, your entire catalog of songs. Build set lists for tomorrow's show.
So the
songs will be in order, and then you can beam the set to all your players in the band because they have iPads in front of them too. So
really handy. OnSong, OnSong app, OnSongapp.com.
Yeah, yeah.
$34.95 US.
Yeah, and it's worth every penny. Yeah,
and it's available on the iPad and iPhone and iPod. It's iPod.
Yeah, I guess newer versions of iPod. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You don't work at the piano or at your guitar anymore?
I typically do.
Yeah.
But I'll have my laptop with me, or I'll have.
Okay.
My iPad.
But you don't use paper and pen, so you go directly from the instrument to the.
It's technology. A rare thing nowadays that I use paper and pen, but I still know how.
Do you?
Yeah.
My writing has really deteriorated. I don't know about yours since I started using
chicken scratch.
A keyboard?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was looking at an old essay that we, believe it or not, I'm so old that we hand wrote our essays in university.
Wow.
Okay, 1970. So my handwriting was beautiful. It was cursive and beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like perfect, no mistakes. Now I can barely read it myself.
Now you need an app that can read your handwriting for you.
Yeah, I know. It's like everyone's got a. Looks like a 8-year-old kid writing, you know. Well, they don't even teach cursive in schools anymore.
No, they figure you use your computer.
Yeah, well, it's true, and most kids do.
It's not a great
but
idea.
Talking about things that kids do, I think kids are going to want to hear the next messages coming up. We'll be right back after this.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. I'm Bruce. And Phil's over there. Streamed on songtalk.ca. Neil is away tonight. Alistair Bradley sitting in for him. Thank you, Alistair.
On crutches. I want to point that out. Alistair's
well,
on crutches.
Well, I think
crutches.
He's got enough sympathy for that now. But it is quite amazing. You know that show business axiom, on with the show. And
yes.
Alistair thought, you know, I'm not going to stay home and watch Netflix. I'm going to drive all the way to Toronto, hobble my way through downtown Toronto. You found elevators, I hope.
Yes,
I found elevators.
Oh, good. Yes, well, we have those. Anyway, you can reach us at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we're going to share your thoughts live on the show if you send us a message. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services, and maybe the apps in the future that we mention on the show on our resources page at songtalk.ca. Coming up on Song Talk Radio, next week is October 23rd. We're going to be talking about three-chord songs.
Three-chord songs.
Mm-hmm. I've only written three chords. I think one of my songs has four. I went crazy. All right, I did. I couldn't help myself. Three-chord songs. We're going to talk about the power of a three-chord song. What does they say? Country music is three chords and
the truth.
Yeah. And then on October 30th, returning, amazing singer and songwriter, jazz type crooner dude, Stephen Tates.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Very talented man. He returns on October 30th, the day before Halloween. I guess we'll be in costume again, will we?
Probably.
And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup on Thursday, October 25th from 7 to 10 at the Transact Club. It's free to join and free to attend. Stop by. by songtalk.ca. You can find the link there to the songwriters meetup. Be sure to join the meetup so we know you were coming and have enough beer ready. It's not free, but it's there. I'll be hosting, and I think Neil is going to be joining us.
Great.
Letters, we get letters.
And man, nothing makes me happier than when somebody writes us because, you know, it's nice to know people out there are listening. And we got this amazing letter.
Well, it was very nice, and especially it was very poignant for me because I had this idea that some time ago, I just said, why don't we do a show where the three of us write songs live on the podcast, on the air, and see what happens? Because we're all songwriters. Let's do it, right? So we spent the first half hour talking about how we write songs, starting with bass or guitar or drums or just an idea, lyric idea. And all the way from Arkansas, James Clymer wrote, good morning. I just wanted to take a minute to let you know how much I appreciate your podcast. I love it, especially this latest one where you all really put yourselves out there to demonstrate how to start writing from scratch. I have searched YouTube and various podcasts for over a year for tips on songwriting, and I don't think any of the myriad advice out there compares to what you all did, Arkansas, you all did, by actually just doing it.
Yay.
Thank you so much, and thank you, James Clymer. There's a P.S. He's from Arkansas. P.S. I get together with some friends once a week with a goal of creating 6 original songs. We're all new to songwriting. Well, you must be to try and do 6 in one night. Really?
Yeah. No, I asked him that.
And this has been...
I sent him an email. He says he doesn't do 6 at night. I was going, wow, that's,
you try.
That's pretty incredible.
So anyway, he says, and this has been incredibly helpful to see you guys, Bruce, Neil, and Phil, working through finding rhythms, a melody, and even fiddling with lyrics as you go. So thank you, James Clymer, and keep listening.
Thanks, James. You rock.
Yeah.
And
love it. We don't get paid, so this is the next best
thing. That's true. And he took the time to write. And of course, if you don't write, you're a terrible person. So.
Well,
James's letter brings to mind a book that I really quite like. I believe it's called The Frustrated Songwriter's Handbook.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's a book all about just getting it done. And they talk about getting together in, they call it a songwriter's lodge. So imagine a bunch of songwriters getting together for a weekend, and they talk about in the course of a weekend coming up with 20 songs. Now, by songs, they don't mean 20 pop formula songs necessarily. It could be, a song could be a 30-second piece of music that demonstrates an idea.
Mm.
But him talking about doing 6 songs in a week brings to mind that frustrated
it's beyond collaboration. Standard. It's like a song gathering.
Yeah.
What's the name of the book?
The Frustrated Songwriter's Handbook, I believe.
Okay, we'll have a look. We'll look that up on the web and see if we can find a reference.
Frustrated Songwriter's Handbook.
It's wonderfully guerrilla. Just about getting down and you know, not letting anything get in the way.
Brilliant.
Just
okay, we'll
make
have that
music.
We'll have that on our resources list because we do want them. So, Linda, you were saying something about a song, an app that you like called Capo, I think.
Sometimes I use Capo. It's
is that C-A-P-O?
C-A-P-O, Capo Touch. And it's basically you can import a song into it, and it'll give you, it'll tell you all the chords that are in it. And you can slow it down or speed it up. And you can change the tempo of the song or part of the song. You can change the pitch in the song. So you can import a song.
Do you import like an audio?
An audio, an audio file.
Cool.
But the other app that I use mostly is iReel Pro. And I use
iReel Pro?
It's called iReel Pro. And it's not a free app. It costs about $15. It's a charting app. And also, I plan all my sets in iReel Pro, and I write out all my songs, whether they're originals or covers. I write out a chart for all my songs because...
For the band.
I'd never perform a song without knowing the lyrics. Yeah. But sometimes I like to have the charts so that if musicians are sitting in, they can read those charts and they can play on the song.
Yeah.
How do you spell that, iReel Pro?
iReelPro. I find it very, very useful.
It's your very own reel book.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, reel book is what used to, I think you'd only...
Also called
a fake
book.
You just sort of get it by, like, because a friend would give you a photocopy of it.
Yeah, it was illegal.
And there were these, like, charts. They would have charts of all these songs. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have all the fancy notation. It would just have intro 1738,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They were called fake books, weren't
fake
they?
Fake books.
Yeah.
Well, I think the real book emerged as a response to the fake book.
Oh, I see.
Somebody saying, no, these aren't the fake. These are the real
things, and you had to pay for them.
For these, the old standards, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the next application I want to talk about is, I think, something that's really, really interesting. And interestingly enough, I think this is an application that people at Alistair's level probably don't need, because Alistair understands all the wacky chord stuff. But I think sometimes as a songwriter, we get stuck at playing the same chords. But the problem is, you might not necessarily know of any other chords. Like, you have a limited palette. And, you know, there's one way of doing it. You can, you know, take a guitar picture chord book, do it, opens up randomly, find a chord, see if it works. But there's this other program called Liquid Notes at re-compose.com. And this is a really fascinating little program, and it's perfect for people who don't necessarily understand music. And what it starts off with, it's a series of rows, vertical rows of, there's a slider and two knobs, basically. And you basically go from one chord to the next, and it gives you a standard chord, like a 1-4-5. Mm-hmm. And then you can sort of say, well, take the next chord and make it a little bit more unusual. And that actually will influence what the next chord will be.
Oh, it makes suggestions.
So it makes suggestions. Okay. And it does it in a very kind of organic way.
Uh-huh.
So the first thing, it has a slider, which is 1-4-5, which I thought was interesting. So it keeps it to a very tight cadence. But from using that basis, you can go to lots of different chords. On top of that, there's a knob that says tension, which I think does adds. Could you figure out what the tension did?
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, a tension, for example, you might, rather than a C major, you might have a C suspended fourth.
Right.
That would be a tension that needs to be resolved to a...
Okay.
The major. So, I mean, it's an adjustment, an alteration from the straight up major chord.
So let's hear it. I think the track is called Liquid Notes Start, I think. Yeah, so that it was. You started off with a really basic 1-4-5, and then as you went on, as it was looping, I could actually take each chord and say, well, make this a little bit more unusual and play with it. And you don't have to think about what the chord is, because it'll suggest it for you, which is really nice. Mm. So if you don't really know a lot about music, but you want to explore some more kind of different harmonies, this is a good way of doing it without having to think about, well, how would I do it? You just would have no idea. If all you've ever played is, you know, open chords on a guitar, there's no other way you would be able to explore these kind of more advances.
But then you couldn't perform it live, unless you learned the chord, right?
Well, yeah, but sometimes some people don't perform live. They just might...
Just for recording purposes, throw in that chord on your bed track. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't Liquid Notes also allow you to... create or import the MIDI the MIDI performance of the song?
It does, actually.
And you can use those sliders to change the chord tensions and the chord colors.
Yes.
So it'll actually, you know, transmogrify your MIDI song, your existing MIDI song.
Yeah, and it's it works with imported stuff. It also comes up with a whole bunch of templates for different kinds of styles of music. There's a second Liquid Notes track there. Let's take a listen to that. This is one of the templates that comes up. I think it's called Deep House or something. And it actually it's kind of like almost like a band in a box, which is another tool people use. And it has lots of accompaniment and styles to it. So it's quite a bit of fun. Let's take a listen to that. Thank you. All right, yeah, so that's another one of the templates it comes up with. So you can actually have a different sort of style. Mm-hmm. And you can sort of organically play with chords. And it's really, really fun because it's not something you have to think about. It. You can just sort of, it just sort of does it on its own. And, mm-hmm. and then you can export it. And it actually does tell you what chords it does choose. So yeah. It kind of gives you an idea. But it's a lot of fun. It's $149 US, so it's not super cheap. There's a free 20-day trial included. And it's for OS X, OS 10, 10.6 or higher, which is really, that's 10.6 is a pretty old version. And the fact that it still works on something that old is really amazing because a lot of musicians have old stuff that they don't update.
Like yes. Me. So it's. Yes, because there is some wisdom in. If you get it working, keep it there. Don't change things.
And for Windows XP Vista, basically Windows XP it up. Yeah, and it's a pretty sophisticated.
I'm still running Windows 7 on my main studio machine.
Well, it does that. Vista 7, 8, 10. Hmm. So, yeah, because actually there's XP, then Vista, then 7, and then.
Yeah, I forget which order. And then there was 8, which people will gladly like to forget that it never came out, Windows 8.
We just got a message in from Neil, actually, in London, and he sent me a joke. So I thought I'd just throw that in now. He's, thank you, Neil. He's in transit. He's on assignment in London, Ontario. Middle C, E-flat, and G walk into a bar. Sorry, says the bartender to the E-flat. We don't serve minors here. It's a minor key. Why did Mozart kill his chickens?
I don't know. Why did Mozart kill his chickens?
Because they ran around screaming, Bach, Bach, Bach. And he got really envious. There's one final one here. This is for the classical music people who understand the, what's it called, the notation? Mm-hmm. What are those little things with the arch and the two dots and all that? You know, the notation.
The dots.
Standard notation. Are you ready, kids? Yeah. Standard notation. Yeah. Want to hear the joke about a staccato? Never mind, it's too short. Bump up. Want to hear the one about the fermata? Oh, wait. No, it's too long.
There we go.
So
we got a million of them, folks.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you for your... sending that humor all the way from London, Ontario. He's actually on the train.
Right. So, Alistair, now how are you working with Master Writer and your DAW? Is there like, do you have them open up the same time or?
No, usually when I'm writing lyrics, I'm trying to focus on strictly writing lyrics. Because
Because
by that point, I usually have the framework of the chords and, the harmonic rhythms. Already established. So I'm just trying to nail down what's the perfect lyric for what I'm trying to say here.
So you've basically written the music and got the melody.
Yes. I find that it works better for me to get away from the other tools and just sit at the piano or the guitar and work on or the kitchen table and just work on lyrics. Yeah.
So odd because, you know, I never start with the melody and the chords first. I guess it's because... I don't know why that is. I guess it's because my guitar, I learned guitar around 14, but it was always as an accompaniment. And I was more a writer, so I wrote stories and stuff. So I always saw songwriting as it has to start with the words and the meaning and the lyric and the feel and all that. And now I'm learning so much about this other way, and I'm still stuck on lyrics first.
I'm with you, Bruce.
Okay. I don't argue with that.
No, it's just
I don't start every song the same way. Mm. Oftentimes, I will start a song with a lyrical idea, but before I have the entire lyric sketched out, the rest of my brain is saying, and here are the chords you're going to use.
Well, that's interesting.
So that evolves much faster for
me than
the
lyric. Maybe I should study music and learn more than 6 chords. Maybe that'll broaden my ability to write a song music first.
A great goal is to learn one new song a week, one new chord a week.
One new chord.
It's not much.
Yeah.
Because you can just get a picture... Eric Sorensen suggested a chord. It's like the encyclopedic picture chord book. And you just open up at random and pick a chord and learn how to play.
Figure out the finger position.
Because you want to expand your palate, you know?
Right.
Because I'm not much, I've always had trouble with lyrics myself. Mm-hmm. One of the other ones I want to talk about is one of the apps we reviewed the first time, and they're still being kept update, is Rhyme Genie and Tunesmith. And Rhyme Genie is, you had some thoughts on this as well.
I hadn't heard of these, and then you you mentioned them to me on the weekend, and I had a look, and I got to say, I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
Rhyme Genie is a fully functional rhyming dictionary. It allows you to specify all the parameters you want. Do I want a near rhyme, a family rhyme, a perfect rhyme? Do I want an assonance rhyme? Do I want an additive rhyme?
And how many syllables?
And based on all of those criteria, it'll say, well, these are the words that fit. And I loved, in fact, the way it would, when I would type in the word that I'm trying to rhyme, it would also give me access to a thesaurus that highlighted, you know, maybe 20 words that have similar meaning to the one that I typed in. So maybe the word I typed in isn't the best one to express
it's
what
cool.
I want to say.
Yeah.
Or maybe the one I typed in has so few rhymes that I really need to look for something else. But it did have everything organized very, very well. I was impressed.
I like it. Not only the one thing it did have is if you put in a word, I put in crowd, it would also give you phrases. Let's get loud, mushroom cloud, nimbus cloud, not allowed, as well as just words.
Yes, yes.
Which I thought was really handy.
Wow.
But another cool thing is it also said what songs charted with those words in it.
Oh.
And it allows you even to dig in and find out what artist wrote that song.
Wow. Like Cole Porter would be in there a lot, I bet.
So, I mean, it's got a phenomenal dictionary behind it.
Yes,
yeah. And it integrates well with other apps because it allows you to collect a clipboard full of the words you like.
Yeah.
Copy those to your computer clipboard and paste into whatever.
What does Tunesmith do?
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Sorry.
I just went, but yeah, so the Rhyme Genie gives you access to all sorts of different kinds of rhymes, and we talk about some of them, but some of them are really, really esoteric. And I mean, you can tell they rhyme, but you wouldn't really know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it also even has like a little dictionary that explains all these different kinds of rhymes. I had a paper rhyme dictionary, but you know, I've actually never been able to figure out how it works. So I actually never used it. I bought it, and I don't think I've ever opened it. I think I opened it once because I couldn't actually quite decipher how it works.
Well, they're all organized phonetically.
Yeah, they're tricky.
Yeah, and it
just
so you
need to know how
sense.
To look for the sound that you're
I used one for years. It was called the Capricorn something every day, da-da-da, rhyming dictionary. It had rhymes in the name of the dictionary. And it was well-worn. I used it professionally writing for corporate entertainment. So I would have to come up with these song parodies using people's names. Like I'd have, you know, Alistair Bradley, I Loved Him Madly. And I'd have all these things about
what
people
rhymes
in the
with
company.
Dan Quayle?
No, I'd have all these names, and then I have products, you know, products from Johnson & Johnson, all that, that I have to work into the song. And it was really helpful.
Yeah.
I'd create my own personal dictionary would be just a page full of all the expressions that are product and people related. And then I'd write a whole bunch of rhymes associated with those. So when I started to write the song that was about the product or the person,
you had them ready to go.
I'd have some raw material. Yeah.
Oh,
so
cool.
This is the same thing, except it's electronic, right?
Yeah. It's really handy. Yeah.
And once you get into the nuts and bolts of rhyming and understanding what impact an additive rhyme has versus a perfect rhyme.
Yeah.
What impact?
What's an additive rhyme? Can you give an example?
Well, an additive rhyme is where you rhyme the vowel sound, but there's an added consonant.
Oh, cloud and
so you could
loudly.
Rhyme. You could rhyme you with moon, and that's adding a consonant sound. Mm. It's not a perfect rhyme.
Mm. Right.
And so it doesn't give the same resolution, the same feeling of resolution as a perfect rhyme, but it gives a very close.
And
so
you
this
could have
application...
you and blue Lee. You and blue Lee.
We're not talking about adding syllables, no.
Well,
no.
That's a different rhyme.
So this is Rhyme Genie is $24.95, and it actually comes with Tunesmith. And Tunesmith, I'm really impressed with Tunesmith, especially if you're wanting to become a professional songwriter, because it allows you to keep track of your recordings, who played on your recordings, which is really important information if you want to register your songs with performance rights organizations. It also has like an area for pitches so that when you send your songs out, you can track that. It allows you to make lyric sheets, nicely formatted lyric sheets.
Well, I'll contest the nicely formatted adjective on that.
Yeah.
But
so now, what did you think of Tunesmith? You thought it was trying to do too
I was,
much.
No, I was very impressed with what it offered because it it offers, because it has tight integration with Rhyme Genie,
it is
a lyric management and a writer's tool that has integration with a really great lyrics, rhyme dictionary. I think Tunesmith is trying to do a few too many things, and some of them are kind of falling down. I tried to have it format a song chart for me, and when it printed out, the lines were overlapping each other, and it was unreadable. So, I mean, there's room for improvement there.
Right.
But like I say, in terms of a tool to let me create, to not get in the way and offer up tools that are useful to me, I was quite impressed. I thought, in fact, it could be a good competition for Master Writer, and at $24.95,
can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. Yeah,
and actually the developer is really really responsive. Idle Mic. I think he approached us initially way back when, and he's been developing this, and I'm just impressed with the fact that this keeps all the songwriting stuff in one spot. And it's all kind of cross-linked, and you can upload audio tapes.
And it does do a whole lot in terms of the business side of it.
Yeah.
You add to the database all your co-writers, your publishers, your performers, and track your, like you say, your pitches.
Yeah.
By whom you're pitching to and what came of that. And in fact, you can list every song with the co-writers and the splits with your co-writers and the splits with your publishers. You can print out a song split agreement that the two of you can sign, and suddenly, you know, there you have your agreement. So there's a whole lot that it's trying to do that it does well.
Yeah.
And it's just a few niggles.
You think the charts thing was the thing that didn't
I think
work
that,
out?
Yeah, that was the one thing that I found that didn't work the way I wanted it to.
I'll let him know.
But I would still consider it a strong recommendation, especially at that price.
Because you get Rhyme Genie and Tunesmith for $24.99.
Yeah.
And that's really cheap because now when you bought Master Writer.
When I bought Master Writer, I got a half off price and I still paid $150.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a full-function piece of software.
Yeah. I mean, it is also geared for professional writers.
But,
and,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to make this your living, you're going to want to put money into it. Whereas if you're just doing it as a side gig, you might not want to. But, I mean, $24.99 is really cheap. And it does.
I've spent more money on dumber things.
Yeah, definitely. OS X, and again, OS X.
Haven't we all?
10.6. And from Windows up, XP up. So you don't even need, like, brand new stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just have, like, an older laptop that you just do music on, and you're doing good stuff, you know. What you got there, Bruce?
Yeah, I just have one very quickly. It's an app. If you're in Canada, and I suppose if you're not in Canada, CBC Music. Just for inspiring some ideas, CBC Music is their channel that's specifically music, and you just click on that. And you've got things like featured, classical, of course, folk, electronic, hip-hop, R&B, and all this. So just for somebody else's, rather than Spotify and doing your own sort of virtual reality choosing, you know how they choose for you on Spotify? They can choose your favorites based on what you've done before. You can see what the CBC folks are doing over there. They've actually got one called Singer-Songwriter, Canadian songwriter. Women who have changed music. So I find this helpful just to browse through looking for ideas for new songs. And I try with Spotify and with this to stay current as much as I can. I was listening to Post Malone the other night because somebody said, well, Post Malone, he's got 1.27 billion hits on a song called Rockstar. And he must be doing something right with with folks.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, what you were saying about learn some new chords, I think songwriters, like all of us, is to listen to the stuff that you wouldn't normally listen to.
Yes, definitely.
You know? Yeah. Go to the stuff that you go, oh, why? Well, I don't want to listen to that. Like, you know, what's that one? What's that loud, really, really loud one?
Opera?
Painful Noise. What's it called? Anyway, I'll think of it
painful
later.
Painful Noise. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, the loud music, you know, Screamcore.
Well, Screamcore.
Like, I don't listen to Screamcore.
Oh, like Korn
Yeah, but go listen to Screamcore just to hear the music in it, right? And keep an open mind.
Yeah. I think as a songwriter, you always got to be replenishing your supply of ideas. And you do that by listening to lots of different stuff. If you never listen to opera, listen to opera.
Well, there's the band.
Yes.
There's the band.
So, Alistair, any closing thoughts?
Well, I was going to say, you know, Bruce, thank you for mentioning an app that is music experience, because a good friend of mine, Adam Bowman, a drummer, He lives by the credo, every day I'm going to listen to three songs I've never heard before.
What a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, don't listen to pop radio then.
That's true. Well, thanks very much. That's all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, even though Neil's skiving off. We'd like to thank our guest, Alistair Bradley.
A great
who came
pleasure.
On friggin' crutches.
Crutches.
A great pleasure.
Yeah, you're going to get an award for that at the end of the year.
You are, sir. Please send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio or what apps you like to use. Send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. Send us something on Facebook or on YouTube at Song Talk Radio. Stop by the site at songtalk.ca where you can subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher.com. All your favorite podcatchers. Don't forget to sign up for the free newsletter at the site as well. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned here on Song Talk Radio on the resources page, like all these apps. If you're on the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup on Thursday, October 25th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. Free to join on meetup.com. Free to attend. Lots of fun. Thank you, Linda Lavender, for putting up with us. And Vanessa, we hope you're having fun in the UK, most of all.
I just wanted to mention, that I had a great title for this show, but Phil wouldn't let me use it. Don't worry, be happy.
I love that. What are you talking about?
Happy.
You can follow Bruce at...
BruceHarrett.com.
Alistair, how do people get more of your stuff?
Either AlistairBradley.com or TiltedWhiteShed.com.
TiltedWhiteShed.com. And Linda?
At LindaLavender.com.
And, of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at ThePhilEmery. Please stop by the website, browse past shows, find out you can be a guest. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Be happy.
Good night.